You're listening to oneofus.net.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
The world at fun war. It was kind of fun, the movie.
Was war fun?
I think for some people, they seemed like they had a lot of fun in this movie.
Well, right. I hear war never changes.
Well, I hear war is hell.
So it's been fun since 1942 then?
Oh, Mr. Hitler, it's fun war times.
Everyone was on cocaine. Nobody was paying attention.
And a little meth, I heard.
A lot of meth, apparently, on the Nazi side.
Isn't that crazy that Nazis were on meth? It's funny, it's like, okay, they're worse, and also they're meth heads.
Apparently, that was the explanation for their otherworldly abilities, because people would talk about how, like, Nazis were like, they never stop, and it's because they were high on meth. Wow. Because they didn't feel anything.
The more you know.
The more you know. The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, the new film by Guy Ritchie. He released a movie last year.
Two movies last year.
I did not know that.
This
Covenant
dude cannot
and
be stopped.
What else did he do?
He did Operation De Fortune, Rudiger.
We're not
a movie
about that movie.
I talked about in this living room over here.
I feel like
until
you made that up.
Wright was.
Yeah, there we go.
It is a.
You think Wright
it is a spy movie. It stars Jason Statham.
God. And thank Christ.
Why did you start choking yourself?
There's no Jason Statham.
they're wheeling me into the mental hospital. I was trying to do a visual joke.
Anyway, this
audio visual.
This film.
Watch
is,
a lot of Simpsons.
This film is based on a. True-ish story.
Supposedly, yes.
Supposedly. Based on the diaries of,
Winston Churchill?
Winston Churchill. Because they were just recently released in 2016, as the movie says, but the book that was based on came out in 2014. Who knows?
The book is probably more off the rumor, and then Churchill's confirmed it.
Right.
That, or they might have seen some of those documents, but they just weren't allowed to, like, use direct shit from it.
Sure, kind of yeah, yeah. But this follows, the story is based in 1942, where the U-boats that the Nazis had were a real bad fucking thing, because they were cutting off supplies to England, and also probably even supplies to the U.S., to where England was under heavy artillery and bombings all the time, and they're trying to, like, fuck, we need to get the Americans involved in World War, so they can basically save us, because they have a lot more artillery than us.
Yeah, U-boats were, they were taking, America had been still sending weapons and stuff, but U-boats would destroy these things for the most part. As well as civilian ships that they were using and as cover to send these weapons, you know, which we should not have done to begin with, but still.
Right.
Mistakes were made.
Mistakes were decided against. I don't know. It was a bad time.
So Winston Churchill has a secret meeting with Cary Elwes' character titled M. Mm. And a very young who is played by...
Freddie Fox.
Plays Ian Fleming. Yes, the same Ian Fleming who created James Bond. And there's like, we need to create a task force that is going to, it's like, it's off the cuff. They're not sanctioned by the British military, nothing. This is all under the radar for them to go in and more or less kind of save the day. And so they bring in a captain, Gus March Phillips, played by Henry Cavill, who is our Superman, I would say. I love him. He's my Witcher. He's my Superman. He's my Argyle.
He's your
fantastic.
Christopher Reeve.
He's my Christopher Reeve.
He's a good Superman.
He's a good Superman.
He could have been better, but they didn't allow him to be.
Yeah, but those movies mostly suck shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, he did the best with everything else behind the camera going
on.
He's
really good at being a dick in movies, and I like that he's carved out this persona for himself, because there's something about his Superman where I'm fine with his performance as Superman, but there's something behind the eyes that it's like, I can't trust this guy. What's going on with
him? Well, about being a dick, he's so good at that in his first scene in this movie where he's like, so you need me. I'm going to help myself to fucking everything in this room.
Every cigar, every piece of booze, a lighter from Ian Fleming.
Oh, Black Label, yes.
If it's not tied down,
I mean, his first collaboration with Guy Ritchie, at least if I'm correct, is Man from U.N.C.L.E., unless he played like some bit role in Rock and Roller or something.
Oh, yeah, I forgot he was in Man from U.N.C.L.E.
He's really good at Man
from U.N.C.L.E. Fantastic. Yeah, he's great. It's the first movie to really deploy that style of him. And Guy Ritchie and him are a really good mix.
They really are. And he's such I think he's a very talented guy. It's just when he's given the right material, because one, he is very hulking and big, but he is extremely charming.
He is. Yes. He's also known to be like a huge nerd, and I think it's
right.
And I think that's humbled him as a person. Where he's like, it's like, no, I put up a shit for my hobbies, so I'm just gonna enjoy being a funny, nice guy to everyone. And like, it plays out in the movies with his chemistry with his co-stars. It's always like, you just get along with people, and I feel
like,
that.
Chaps was like, well, shoot that Nazi right over there.
Speaking of hulking and big, though, Alan fucking Richson, so, Aquaman himself,
So. Gus March Phillips, he says, like, well, okay, if you're going to get me, we're going to need a team of individuals who are all mad. And they include, I'm going to go down the list.
A bunch of Cockney wide boys.
Anders Lawson, who played by Alan Richson, who was recently Reacher, who is such a great talent. I fucking love him.
He's got a great physicality.
And he kind of reminds me of Henry Cavill, like in Mission Impossible Fallout a little bit, where he is gigantic. He's like 6'3", 6'4", and he's huge. But he's still fast as shit.
And he stabs a shit ton of Nazis.
And he comes from comedy as an actor. And it shows with his charm and all of these scenes. Him playing off Cavill in this movie, actually, their scenes are some of the funniest, because they're like, you two kind of have the same energy.
They also have Henry Golding and Alex Pettifer. This whole movie, they even describe it. It's about a bunch of strapping lads fighting Nazis.
And so they gather this team up together to, well, one, they have to get Appleyard, Alex Pettifer, out from a Nazi prison, because they're interrogating him, because he's the one who comes up with the plans. Everyone has like kind of like their specialty. There's the guy, Henry Golding, who is... he's the explosions specialist. I'm a little drunk. And
this movie's also a little drunk.
Yeah. Hero finds Tiffin plays Henry Hayes. He's the Irish kid who just basically goes on like with Henry Cavill's character.
He's
like,
the most Cockney out of all.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's Cavill's assistant.
You can't call an Irish guy Cockney. I think that's actually considered a hate crime.
It might be, actually.
I will say Henry Golding, he plays the demolition expert with my favorite. They use my favorite term ever from World War II, which is calling him a frogman.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, that's the best term in the world that we should have brought back for divers. That's great.
So at the same time, though, there are these other two characters, Isa Gonzalez, who plays Marjorie Stewart, and then, okay, guys, I'm so sorry. He played a character in Dune. I'm going to try to pronounce his name. I'm really bad at pronouncing names.
You don't have to do
Bob's Olsen Mukan, who plays Heron. They're two more or less spies that are on this island at the like southwest.
It's a Spanish island.
Of Africa, that basically houses like the stronghold, let's say, of the U-boats. And the one who is leading that entire Nazi stronghold is Till Schweiger, who plays Henrik Lurer, who is this like, kind of like sadistic piece of shit.
It's
Nazi,
basically
like,
Hugo Stieglitz from Inglourious Basterds playing Hans
bad.
Landa.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This
exactly,
movie is
yeah.
so indebted to Inglourious Basterds and also just that Man on the Mission era of movies, which is...
Yeah, and I was going to say, that's probably why I'm such a big fan of this movie, because I still stan Inglourious Basterds as one of my favorite. Like, and just that movie... This movie takes so much from that. It takes a lot of the Western energy and elements, both musically and...
The score is very Ennio Morricone.
It's unashamed of it.
And so much of like the fast-paced like snap fights and things that happen in a Western movie, where it's like... Because it's true, just like in a Western in World War II. Basically, if you get shot, you're probably dead in World War II.
Right. So their plan is to basically infiltrate and to in more ways than one, for both, even both characters, is seduce certain parts of the Nazi stronghold. So it basically gives an opportunity for the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare to come and sail to that island to basically blow up this huge ship that has a lot of supplies and these like two tugboats that will carry. It's a little difficult every now and then to understand. So it's a
giant ship that is an Italian ship.
Right.
And the two tugboats basically are just like always tugboats, and you need to take it out of harbor.
Right.
And so that's why both all of these are important. And yeah, they're like, okay, we got to blow this up. We got to find a way to get in there, because the other problem is they're coming all the way down from England, and they either have to cross U-boats, which will blow them up if they have any suspicion that
the British armada will arrest them because it's unsanctioned.
Yes, or even the Nazis will just capture them and torture the fuck out of them till they die.
Yeah.
Lovely times.
So what's so fun about the film is that everyone's attitude, let's say, is more or less like, look, we're in this to basically kill as many Nazis as possible. Like, there are lines about, like, now leave room for everyone. Like, don't be greedy about killing the Nazis here, which is very, it also feels very reminiscent of the scene Brad Pitt does, the speech that he gives for Inglourious Basterds. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone owes me 100 Nazi scalps. And like, there is like, it's a little bit more like, you know, fancy free, just like, you know, everyone have a good time.
Well, what's great about it, and it's a strange way of putting it, but I was talking to somebody about it somewhat a little bit, where they're like, it's like a cartoon, but
yeah,
it reminds me of like as if Henry Cavill was Bugs Bunny, and he was just like, yeah, let's just fuck this place up.
Yeah.
And he would just talk to his other, like, essentially the equivalent of like other Looney Tunes characters to be just like, just, you know, just don't overdo it, and we'll go from there. And it's because everybody's just this fun little insane person. And you can't help but root for how insane they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone's so proficient at what they do, too. So, like, everyone earns what they're doing. So it's not just, like, a blind luck that, like, Alan Richson's able to, like, you know, shoot someone with a bow and arrow from, like, you know, fucking 50 so fucking yards fun. Away or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's fucking fantastic.
And then Henry Cavill just trolls people.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It's pretty much, this movie's like if you took Dirty Dozen but made them all pulp heroes. And it's and I will say for the rich scene with the bow and arrow, the better thing about that is like the first time he used it, like, yeah, but where's the arrow? I was like, oh, it went straight through him because the fucking Hulk shot him with a bow.
Yeah, he is clearly packing some, because he's fucking massive. So the pull weight on that bow must be fucking
his
massive.
His forearms, his like biceps are bigger than our fucking heads. Like all of us combined.
His bow is basically the bow strength of Odysseus's bow from fucking The Odyssey, because it's so overly OP.
Yeah.
And I love it.
No, what I really like about this movie is how it continued this trend that Guy Ritchie has had lately post Aladdin of just making these kind of Don Siegel-y, Robert Aldrich sort of like John Frankenheimer, just sort of dad movies like The Covenant, like Wrath of Man. I just like him in this speed, just giving a little bit of paprika to these like what would otherwise just be like mid-tier
action,
like
movies,
red box movies.
The one thing that I'll give it a little bit more criticism on is that I do miss some of the flair that he had with camera work, with his cinematography from his earlier movies, like you're talking
Lock, Stock, Snatch, all the stuff and, that we watched in dorm rooms
right.
for a long period
and like
of time,
the thing sure. is like I they're very influential on a lot of films that came after it, because people were like, same way people copied Tarantino, right. A lot of people copied Guy Ritchie. And
yeah, I mean, he is to British crime films what Quentin Tarantino was to American crime films
in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, it's weird that he's now found the genre path, but
right. And I do miss some of those things. Now, granted, I mean, it's still shot beautiful. I mean, it's still a great looking movie.
Yeah, it's just very like, competently directed.
There's some really good shots that happen later on with this sort of fun, especially a great use of sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
During these shots.
Yeah.
But there's so few between compared to what, like you guys said, in his earlier stuff.
But I feel like what's good about it past that is, while it may not always be the most, most artistic or dynamic type of shots that he might have done in the past, it's snappy with those cuts, with the shots he uses are well used. It's more than just like workmanly. It keeps the pace rolling in the action scenes where you can show multiple things and it keeps going. And I think part of that also goes to that this movie does almost in some ways harken back to his earlier movies, because they turned this whole mission basically into like it was a heist movie.
Oh, yeah. It's,
and
yeah,
that's a perfect for Richie.
It's similar to what he did with King Arthur, where it essentially becomes a movie about Cockney wide boys who like to box. It
gets, you really have to stop.
What's the time right now in the
recording? Oh, no, I'm just going
to
mute it.
No, no, I'm just asking because I want to give the payout to anybody who had this time for when Nate would finally mention the King Arthur movie.
The movie works because of its cast. It reminds me of the casting chemistry that Ocean's 11's cast has in a lot of ways, because everybody does their job, but in a way that everybody, you just want to see them hang out.
That it, like everyone is like singular, like you get who they are, and like everyone's great at what they do, but like you know what they're doing, and you, like you can distinguish all of them.
Yes,
and they all have really great chemistry. And maybe the Irish kid, like he's really good. But like maybe he's the most like muddled in the crew than anyone else. But like you could still see it's like, oh, he's like kind of like a protege for Henry Cavill's character.
You know who this movie needed the most was Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised because Rory Kinnear, I was trying to figure out like, wait, who's playing Winston Churchill? And I was like, oh, it's Rory Kinnear. And
really weird makeup.
Actually, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it didn't feel off. And the big thing I think with that is we've all seen so many versions of Churchill.
Yeah.
But that even past the real look of Churchill, we have such an image in our head. Anything that's a little bit more naturalized feels fake almost. Right. I would say
maybe I just felt like I was watching Alex Garland's Men.
Yeah, it would have been really great, in my opinion, to have Hugh Grant be one of the admirals that disagrees. Because I think it's like those guys are supposed to be playing the most like you don't like them because they disagree with Churchill and his plan. And I'm like, Hugh Grant is on his smarmy era right now. That'd be great to have him be pissed off admiral or the guy the captain on the destroyer that talks to them. Like that could have been good to be Hugh Grant.
Oh, that would have been a good cameo.
Doing a very specific Cockney accent.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. But we get to see them like, you know, having to, you know, figure out and improvise towards the end of the film, which is again like you were saying, like it does feel like a heist movie. And it's really fun, and not to take away from Heron Marjorie Stewart's character, like they're still very active in the entire like other like B plot.
They're very like faux Shoshana, like going in
right. Well, or like, even like similar. Or what is it? Diane Kruger's character,
sort of a blending of the two.
Yeah,
I was gonna say I think between the two, I don't think she's bad. I feel like she just kind of gets a role you expect from that character, which is fine. I mean, because every reason we expect it is because probably most of those are based off what she actually did in real life.
Yeah.
But Heron's character, I think he gets to do a lot more than I worried they would do with that character.
Yeah, exactly. He
plays also off, I would like, argue Guy Ritchie has never been good with female characters in this trend. Kind of.
I mean, like they do enough with her. I think that it's just like, though, again, another criticism with this, and I think a lot of people will say this, but then again, they, you know, I guess it's a true story. So it's like, yeah, they all like lived. Everyone is so fucking capable.
Yeah.
Where it almost seems unbelievable. And, but then it again, it makes sense.
Cause in history you want the capable people to be the ones doing these
things. And they are usually the ones that live and succeed on the mission that we know they lived. And
yeah. It's not like he literally like found the worst people who just like if they die they die kind of thing. He's like, no, I need
it's not like
shit.
A Suicide Squad.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. I need the shit to work.
I also just think this movie is so dialed into such a cartoonish realm that it's you really like, even though we're like, yeah, this actually happened, all that. It's just a Guy Ritchie cartoon pastiche man on a mission movie.
Yeah,
like at the end of the day, it could have been absolute hogwash.
And it would, I generally don't think it would have worked without this cast.
And Carrie Elwes, you know, his character is a lot more muted because of who he's supposed to be. He's supposed to be the commanding officer who's like, look, I don't like this, but I know the right people for the right thing. And it's like, Carrie Elwes, you're just always. You hit the right amount of like charming and officer like that it fits.
Understated charm.
Yeah, I always love Cary Elwes.
He's always great.
He brings so much.
He's so good. Let's go into final thoughts because I think we were all kind of, for the most part, on the same page. I mean, I think that this was, this surprised me. I mean, for it, this being the second Henry Cavill film I've seen this year.
I was trying not to bring that up because it's such a, I've
Argyle sucks. But too much to lead into final thoughts, how about Mike? How about you lead us off?
I was surprised.
I didn't even introduce all of us, by the way. I'm so sorry.
Well, we're a bunch of strapping young lads over here.
You don't know us already?
Okay, there's Mike, Nathan, and Ben. Mike, go.
The ungentlemanly crew.
I was genuinely surprised by this movie. When they first announced this movie, I was like, that could be fun, but I don't really know. Because, like we said, Cavill's actual movie choices are very strange. But yeah. But Man from U.N.C.L.E. was such a great time that I was like, okay, this has a very good shot at me liking him again. And so coming into it, my expectations weren't exactly low, but they weren't like super high. Yeah. And so by the time it was done, I generally really enjoyed myself to the point where I'm like, I could see a lot of the general audience just loving this film. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take itself too seriously. I feel like if it did, and with this cast, it definitely wouldn't have worked. If it wasn't this cast and it still had this tone, it definitely would not have worked. And if it was good way of putting it? If it was any longer as well, mm-hmm. I don't think it would have worked either.
Absolutely not.
You started feeling the time eventually, but not because you hated it, but because you're just like, okay, is this going to happen or what? kind of thing.
Yeah.
Argyle. Any time on Argyle was too long.
But every time
that movie was 5.5 hours long.
But every time the action started, I was like immediately excited because unlike a lot of other action movies that we see nowadays where it's just like, and then they shot him. There's so much creativity to how they fucking shoot them or lack of shooting, especially on Alan Richardson's part.
Oh, man.
Because holy fucking shit. I want a Green Arrow story of him just killing people that way. even though I know the Green Arrow shouldn't kill people, I would still watch that. And I generally just thought this was probably one of my favorite little action films that Guy Ritchie's done in a long time. And I would have to give it... I'm going to give it something probably higher than it probably would have normally. Only because I'm in a good mood because of it. 9 out of 10 riddles.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. Nathan, what's your bullshit final thoughts?
Well, I'm love you too, right? Love you.
I love you.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I say that with love.
It's the only reason I'm still on this show.
That's what you say.
No.
But you never look us in the eye.
I really like this new era for Guy Ritchie, and I found this movie to be a lot of fun. He's become a steakhouse director. He's never going to give you like a fucking Oscar-nominated movie or a movie that's going to be a shock to the system.
Yeah.
He's going to just give you these thrillers, these like cop movies, these fucking just kind of trashy, pulpy movies. And I dig on that. Is this my favorite of all of them? No. But I found this movie to be a fun time. The cast is great. The action is like coherent and competent enough in its direction. Sound design is good. You didn't actually pass out this time, like nearly like you've been thrown into a dryer after watching Monkey Man, which I'm sure people are going to say is the better action movie, and probably is technically. But no, this movie
this will make you less sick.
This movie was a fun time. I think it gets a little bit bogged down in its own plot and details, and Guy Ritchie does like to let a plot unfold. But it really lost the rhythm at certain points. It got a little boring, honestly, in certain stretches when they're not just absolutely just wreaking havoc on Nazis.
Sure.
This has got to be 5.5 cigars out of Winston Churchill's office. Is that Winston Churchill's office? Out of 10, yeah.
Okay.
Five and a half. I liked it, but, you know, it's not a fucking modern masterpiece that moves like jazz, like Wrath of Man.
Oh, God.
So you keep inviting him into your house, why?
So we're going to do a Jason Statham programming.
Ben, here.
It's such an interesting idea. Okay, go ahead.
Ben, it's just you and I talking. I don't understand. I really don't know.
I just, you know, the youth these days. There's a character
called Bullet.
I try, but
by Holt McCann.
I give him chances, but.
Josh Hartnett plays Boy Sweat Dave.
He keeps coming
now
over.
Now you're just saying
and
things.
He just wants to say
Jason
things,
Statham's name is
Josh
H.
Hartnett hasn't done anything since Hollywood Homicide.
I'm the one guy who forgot
about Oppenheimer. You definitely have your final thoughts now.
Yes, please not. For the record, I love Josh Hartnett. I just don't love most things Nate says.
Where does he rank in your male performances in Oppenheimer? Anyways, get to the final.
I give him a Hollywood Homicide out of 10.
Josh Hartnett should have been in this movie.
Actually, he would have been pretty good in this movie. Good, well, if they had more Americans, yes. But anyway, I digress. We're getting away from the topic here, which this movie just, honestly, like I said, I was like, not in the way that I would say it about more of a lighter movie, but this is just a delight. Like, you go in, if you go into this movie after watching the trailer going, I think I really would like this, you will. Like, the trailer does sell you on, like, this is an action movie with big, muscly guys behaving insane, but it has good heart. It has good, like, charismatic performances. Like, the meaning behind all these actors, there's a scene that almost feels out of place. You put it together about Cavill not actually killing someone. Mm. I won't spoil it, but it actually does make sense. He's like, look, this is all fucked up. Like, I will fucking kill a bunch of adults, but you.
Yeah.
It all works. And like, just, it's not beautiful necessarily, but the way they play out the action is just a commitment to, like, we're going to put in all the most practical effects that we can with this.
Yeah.
Arrows going through guys looks perfectly great.
Good stunt work.
Yeah. Stabbing the fuck out of a guy. Some of the comedy does really hit. There's a great bit when they're like first raiding a base and there's just like one guy who's basically the dog reaction shot, like, and it's hilarious. That's actually really funny. It's a great little build up, and it's a scene that, like, yeah, I mean, to better or worse, I guess, as Wright mentions, like, these guys kind of are unstoppable. Like, almost no one gets hurt, but it's like, yeah, but they, as I said, they're basically pulp heroes. This is like the more modernized, brutal version of, you know, G.I. Joe. They are basically G.I. Joes. Yeah.
It makes me want them to be a Doc Savage team. And yes. Just like make a Doc Savage movie.
Which I would watch Guy Ritchie do a Doc Savage movie.
Yeah. Use the same group, and I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Okay, what Guy Ritchie, what superhero property would you want Guy Ritchie to do?
No, stop it.
No,
stop
this
it.
Is go, later.
We'll, come on, let him finish, plan finish. The MCU.
This will be
I want him to do the Spirit.
He's going to do Silver Surfer.
The Howling Commandos.
Actually, no, he'd be great.
Oh, actually, that'd be good.
Yeah, no, but anyway, so this movie, like, it's everything I wanted from it. Like, literally, they even start with the perfect scene for this, for it to start, because it's them, like, hey, we could start with the narrative, we could start with the plot. No, let's just start with showing why these guys are going to be really enjoyable to watch together.
Yeah.
It is really, really good. And also, I've always been a fan of Henry Golding. Like, he's the guy who's like, yeah, I saw you in Crazy Rich Asians, and I didn't think you were bad. You're just not stellar or amazing. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten to prove that a little bit more progressively over time.
Yeah.
Snake Eyes, To Be Forgotten, but everything else.
Oh, I thought you were about to mention how great he is in Snake Eyes. I haven't seen it.
Honestly, he's one of the better parts of Snake Eyes because they don't know what they're doing in that movie.
Really, I hear they just get the raid guys and have them do nothing.
Kind of. Some of the fight scenes are okay, but I digress. This movie is just, as I said, it's everything you want from that. If as Wright said, Argyle exists in your memory because you saw it, this will help wipe some of that.
It doesn't.
Because Henry Cavill actually...
No, nothing can wipe
Henry
that out.
Cavill actually brings joy back into your life in this movie that he took away. Well, most of that movie took away from you. So I am going to give this 8.5 out of 10 barrels of Nazi hearts.
Nice. I thought that it was super fun. I think it was a great movie to kind of almost kick off the summer in a lot of ways. And I hope it's like kind of a modest smash because this is a type of movie where people's like, the movies are back. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm pretty sure the people who say those kind of things are, what is the word? Idiots. And
we're so back.
No, only because they're fucking stupid. But, and if you're listening and you say that kind of thing, yeah, I'm talking about you. But I think this movie is a great entry into Guy Ritchie's filmography, and like all the acting and like the actors in it. And like you're saying, Mike, like the casting is fucking superb.
Yeah.
Like it's really great. The chemistry is all there. And this is one of the few movies, like it feels like a Ocean's 11 where the chemistry is just oozing out of the screen. And like they all seem like they genuinely enjoy each other's company and it shows. So like, even though that there are some things you're like, okay, like the cinematography is not the greatest to where I remember Guy Ritchie was. And some of the characters like, okay, it's a little underwritten, but the action is great. It, like you can understand and tell what the hell is going on. The stunt work is fantastic. And, it's a really great time. I mean, fucking go watch it. It's good. And plus like, I'm sorry, not to get political or anything, but what's better than fucking stabbing a goddamn Nazi with a goddamn arrow?
It's a bunch of hot people stabbing
Nazis.
Nazis
getting
hot
killed.
People stabbing Nazis.
Come on.
For fuck's
that's
sake.
That's actually my antidepressant.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Like, at the end of the day, for all of my criticisms, it's a movie where hot people stab Nazis.
I visited Germany back in 2003 when I graduated high school, and I'm old. And all the German people were very, understanding about their history, which is actually kind of quite refreshing about some country actually understanding their history.
That's true.
And
wait, history exists? I thought America.
So America. But I'm sorry though, it is the best fodder for any film or story. It's but fucking killing Nazis though, they're the ultimate bad guy modern history.
I was gonna say, look, nothing beats the smile on my face when Alan Ritchson picks up a fire axe in this movie.
Oh my god. He is so excited to kill Nazis. So good. It's so fun. So I'm going to give this a solid 8 out of 10 times Matthew Vaughn wishes he can be Guy Ritchie.
Boom!
Because Guy Ritchie or Matthew Vaughn is a fucking hack. Goodbye!